Morning. Today's daf in Pesachim is daf Yedalad. We get the distinct pleasure today of starting the topic usually referred to as Rabbi Chanina's Gana Kohanim, which is the opening words of the Mishnah. It's going to be a week of Tumah Tahara, and I'll explain why we're going to get into the topic of Tumah Tahara, even though we're learning Masechta Pesachim. But we're not there yet, so let's not introduce that topic yet. Let's finish up from where we were yesterday. We're going to just deal with one question to finish up yesterday's topic, although some of the answers are going to get a little bit detailed, and then we're going to move on to today's daf and Rabbi Chanina's Gana Kohanim. The one question that we have to deal with is the following. The Mishnah says that they used to put up loaves of bread up onto the top of the Itztaba that was in the Beit HaMikdash, and two loaves of bread meant you can eat chametz, one loaf of bread meant that you can't eat chametz anymore, but don't burn it. In other words, it's also bana. And then when both loaves were removed, so at that point in time, now we know that chametz has to be burnt. So in other words, basically, the simen, this way of communication is very clear. The idea is very simple, meaning loaves of bread indicate chametz. So two loaves of bread means go ahead, eat. One loaf is like yellow light. It means like, okay, don't eat, but you know, don't burn it. And then finally, when there are no loaves up there, so that's red light. Okay, so the method of communication is very straightforward. But now the Gemara is going to deal with one question, and really one question only. The Mishnah refers to them as chalos psulos, that they are disqualified loaves of bread. So by what means are they disqualified? How exactly were they disqualified? How do we get there? So on my psulos, that's the Gemara's question. We're on Yud Gimel Amud Beis. We're at the two dots, about 10 lines from the top of the Amud. And this is it, meaning that's the one question that we're going to be dealing with from here until the Mishnah on Yedala Amud Aleph. On my psulos, why are they disqualified? Amar Rabbi Chanina mitoch shayim merubos nifsos belina. Now, before we start with the answers, let me just go over some basics so that we all understand what is about to occur. We're talking about the carbon toda and the lechem that comes together with the carbon toda. Carbon toda is the carbon that is brought. The Torah describes it in the beginning of Sefer Vayikra. The carbon toda, you have to go through some sort of life harrowing experience. So the Torah says it's not an appropriate time to bring a carbon toda. Actually, the Torah itself doesn't mention what you have to experience in order to bring a carbon toda, but the Gemara Brachos describes four different scenarios where you need to thank God that you're still alive. You traveled over the sea, you traveled over the desert, you got really sick, you were in jail. So one of those scenarios, so if you escaped one of those scenarios, so you got to really thank God. So you bring a carbon toda. Now the carbon toda is an interesting carbon. It's essentially carbon shlamim. Okay, it's an animal. It's essentially carbon shlamim. But a couple of things. First of all, the carbon toda has 40 loaves of bread. 40. That's a lot of bread. Of those 40 loaves of bread, 30 of them are matzah, which is normally how bread comes in the Beis HaMikdash. It's usually every mincha is matzah, but 10 of those loaves are chametz, as I mentioned already a number of times. Extraordinarily anomalous that you have chametz coming as your mincha. Only two times does your mincha come out of chametz. Number one is going to be here by the Toda, the 10 loaves that come together with the Toda, and also on Shavuos. The Kivsei Atzeres, together with the Kivsei Atzeres, there are shtei halachim, there are two loaves of bread that come together with it. Okay, so that's number one. That's one unique feature about the carbon toda. The other unique feature about the carbon toda is that unlike regular shlamim, you're given 2 days and the night in between in order to eat your shlamim. Carbon toda, 1 day, 1 night, that's it. So in other words, the lifespan of the carbon toda is truncated so that you're only given 2 periods of time to eat it, the day and the following night. So now, back to the basic question of the Gemara. You are now on the 14th day of Nisan, and you have lachmei toda, which are pasul. They're disqualified. So how do you get there? So the easiest answer, and the one the Gemara is going to offer first, is Amar Rabbi Chanina mitoch shayu merubos nifsos belina. It's the easiest answer, which is that these lachmei toda were offered on the 13th day of Nisan, the day prior. There's a lot of bread. And not all the bread was consumed. There's leftover bread the next morning. That bread the next morning is pasul belina, meaning because it experienced, it just went beyond its allotted time, so therefore now it's disqualified. That's really the easiest answer, and that's how there's lachmei toda to be found in the Beis HaMikdash on the 14th day of Nisan, of which we're going to take two of them and use them as our markers to communicate to the people. D'tanya, the Gemara quotes a braisa, ein mevi'in toda b'chag ha'matzos mimnei chamish haba. So you can't bring a carbon toda on Pesach. That's what the Braisa says. To which the Gemara says, Pshita, okay, I think we would all figure that out. Meaning, maybe as a Havamin, you could say it's a mitzvah sase, but it just, in other words, can't be. It literally cannot be that you're going to bring a carbon todah on Pesach. The Chamish Shabbat, it has the ten of the loaves, the chametz. It's an ester kares to eat it, even if you want to make some argument of ase being docha lo sase, but not lo sase sheshbo kares, which is chametz. So it's obvious that the Braisa is not talking about on Pesach. So Amar Avad de Barava, hachabi yadal askinan. Good, we're not talking about in Pesach. We're talking about Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach, 14th day of Nisan, you can't bring a carbon todah. Even though half of that day you're allowed to eat chametz, you're allowed to eat chametz in the morning, doesn't matter. You can't bring a carbon todah on that day. Why not? The reason why is very simple. Because what you're doing is you're shortening the shelf life of a carbon. You cannot do that. You cannot bring a carbon knowing that its shelf life is going to be shortened. So a shlamim, you have 2 days. A todah, you only have a day and a night and the following night. But here, because you bring in an Erev Pesach, it's even shorter than that. It's only going to be the morning. You can't eat the todah beyond the morning. So, that's what the Braisa means, and therefore, there is no Torah that being offered on the 14th day of Nisan. You're being maybe kashim lebeis apsul, so therefore you cannot do it. Therefore, the carbon Torah is being brought on the 13th day of Nisan. There's a lot of bread. There's a lot left over. That's how we have lechem pasul the next morning. Okay. That's the easiest answer. And if we would have stopped there, that would have been great. V'kulei alma. Everybody's bringing it on the 13th day. And because there's so many, so therefore it's possible. Okay. That is now all answer number one. And why can you? Because you're not shortening it. No, what do you mean? Base of psul. It's only day and following night. Right? Mishum Rabbi Yana Amru. Okay. So that's all answer number one, and file that under really the simplest answer. Okay, then the Gemara is going to give us another answer, and here it's going to be more complex. Mishum Rabbi Yana Amru Ksherisayu. Okay, let's say it like this. Really, truth of the matter is that these loaves of bread are not psulos, even though the Mishnah says they're psulos. But let's try to make the argument that they're ksheros. Ve'alamai karale psulos shalonishchar aleim azevach. So the Gemara says, and the reason why they're called psulos is because they're loaves of bread without an animal. Okay. Before we engage in this answer again, let me just give one more point of background, and then we're going to hopefully understand this answer a little bit better. The way it works with a todah is that it's made up of an animal and the bread. Now, in the world of karbanos, we say this all the time. We have this concept all the time, and that is the idea of a matir, which basically means that one act permits something else. So, for example, by standard carbon, when do I get to eat the meat of the animal? Zrikas adam, sprinkling of the blood. The blood. The sprinkling of the blood of the carbon is a matir. It allows me to eat the meat of the animal. Okay. And so this idea of matir comes up again and again. When you have a carbon that's made up of animal and bread, like in the case of carbon todah, the other example would be also on the shtei alechem on Shavuos. So basically now, the offering of the animal becomes the matir for the bread. Meaning, it is what gives the bread, it imbues the bread with kedusha, sanctity, even though the bread had sanctity beforehand, but I'm going to explain in just a moment the difference between before and after, and it allows the owner of the bread to now eat the bread. It becomes a matir. So in other words, the bread is a byproduct of the animal. The animal is a matir, and the bread, the animal is a matir, the offering of the animal is a matir, and the bread is the nitar. It becomes what's permitted. So the Gemara now is going to argue the following. In the name of Rav Yanai, the Gemara suggests that really this bread on Erev Pesach is ksheros. Now, by the way, this answer, and Rashi makes this point, this answer now is going to be suggesting that we're actually offering the carbon todah on the 14th day of Nisan. Now, I know the Gemara just got done saying, Ein mevi'in kashin l'dei apsul, but this answer is going to assume that it's not the end of the world. Meaning, you could eat it in the morning, and even though you are shortening the life of the carbon, but okay. No, anyway, so yes, this answer is just rolling over, driving over a point the Gemara made a moment ago, but fine. Anyway, so you offered the carbon torah on the 14th day of Nisan. So why are these breads being hoisted up on the top of the on the top of the itzabah? Because the Gemara's answer is, now let's see the answer inside. Mishum Rabbi Yonah Amruk Sheretz Ayuva Ela Maikar Le Psulos Shalom Nishchad Aleim Azevach. Because the animal wasn't shechted. So because the animal wasn't shechted, so now this bread has not become mutar, has not become permitted. So therefore it's bread of the toda, but the point is we have no toda. Okay. V'nishchot. So the Gemara says, okay, so what are we waiting for? Meaning, so shecht the carbon toda, and therefore invest into the bread, kedusha. What's the issue? She'avad azevach. So the Gemara's answer is, the problem is, in this particular case, avad azevach, that we lost the carbon toda. Now, by the way, mind you, if we could just try to put this answer now in the context of what we're discussing. Our Mishnah says, you know, annually, we would take the bread and we put it up on the top of the itztabah. Well, in other words, this answer now is presuming that annually there's going to be a person who's going to have brought his carbon toda on the 14th day of Nisan and lost the animal. In other words, it's hard to imagine that right now the Gemara is really trying to answer up the Mishnah. I think, this is me talking, so take it for what it's worth, I think the Gemara is just trying to share with us some Hilchos Karbanos, so at least we can suggest another scenario of how it would work. But the first answer really is the most straightforward answer, because everybody, in other words, the Gemara says, everybody brings the carbon toad on the 13th day of Nisan. What better time to do it? We're going up to Yerushalayim anyway, and there's going to be leftover bread the next day. That answer really satisfies more the idea that this is going to be an annual occurrence. Here, I lost the animal. The bread, therefore, is somewhere in limbo, halachic limbo. All right, it's more difficult to plug this into the Mishnah. Anyway, so the Gemara is right now at the point of suggesting we lost the animal. So v'naisi zevachacher v'nishchot da amar zutod v'zulach mauch da rava da amar rava avad alecha mevi lechem acher av da toda ein mevi toda acheres. So the Gemara says, how about get a substitute, get a replacement animal? The Gemara says, no such thing. Doesn't work. You can't get a substitute animal. You can get substitute bread, but you can't get substitute animal. So in the carbon toda, if I lost the bread, not a problem getting more bread, get new breads. If I lost the animal, I can't just simply reattach the bread to a new animal. My time alechem glal toda, vein toda glal lechem. Right? They used to think that the sun revolves around the earth. Okay? That's, you know, for most of humanity, that's what we thought. Okay? Correction. Right? Earth revolves around the sun. So you got to know what's the center, what revolves around the center. So here, in the world of lechem versus toda, toda, by the way, is the animal. In the world of lechem versus toda, so the toda is the center. The lechem revolves around the toda. It's not the other way around. So if I lose the bread, not a problem, just replace it. If I lose the toda, I can't just simply substitute a toda. The toda is the centerpiece. Good. All right, so that's where are we at right now. We're at bread that was offered on Erev Pesach, and bread. Carbon toda that was offered on Erev Pesach. Problem is, lost our carbon toda. Replaceable, not replaceable. That's and that's where the bread now is in a halachic limbo. Now,
is it because the bread has like kedusha dominant?
So the Gemara says, yes, yes, that's part of it. So now the Gemara says, and it segues beautifully to the next point of the Gemara. V'nifrikinu v'nafkinu l'chulin. So the Gemara says, okay, so I have bread that's now unattached. It has no attachment to the carbon toda, as we lost the carbon toda. So now I have unattached bread. When the bread was originally made for the carbon toda, it only had kedushas damim. It only had value kedusha. When does it receive kedushas haguf, intrinsic value? With the shechting of the carbon toda. As I mentioned a moment ago, that shechting of the carbon toda is the matir. It's not only the matir, but it's what injects kedusha, more kedusha into the bread. It imbues the bread with kedushas haguf. So now the Gemara is pointing out, so now that we lost the carbon toda, so the bread is just a standalone bread, and it doesn't have kedushas haguf. It doesn't have kedushas haguf. So why don't we do the following? Redeem it. Right, why is this bread now in halachic limbo? Redeem the bread. Anything with Kedushas Damim is redeemable. In fact, that's the very definition of Kedushas Damim, is that's redeemable. Okay, so the Gemara says, you're right, that point is an excellent point. So now we're going to do the following. And from here till the Mishnah, well, not exactly, from here to the bottom of the Amud, basically what we're going to attempt to do is we're going to try to put the bread in halachic limbo, where it is not, it doesn't have Kedushas Haguf, but at the same time, it's not redeemable. Okay? And the reason we want to do that is, again, we're just trying to give another Pshat in our Mishnah of how this bread is useless in terms of carbon, and therefore going to be put up on the top of the Ishtabah to be used as markers for everybody else, communicators with everyone else. So the Gemara says, we're going to now abandon the idea that we lost the carbon. No, we didn't. We didn't lose the carbon. In fact, we shechted the carbon. Shenishchar aleim hazevach. V'nishbach hadam. So here's what happened now. What happened is that we had the carbon toda. We shechted the carbon toda. Now the next step is somebody was supposed to catch the blood coming out in a bowl. This is what's called Kabbalah Sadam, the second avoda of the Dalit Avodos. And so what happened is nobody was there to catch the blood, and the blood spilled right on the floor. And this is what's called Nishpach Hadam. And at that point in time, now it's too late. So now you can't do anything. What do we gain by giving creating such a scenario? Ukeman kerebi, and we're going to subscribe to the viewpoint of Rebbe, the Amar Rebbe. Shnei dvar mamatir malin zeh below zeh detanya. So we have two things which are malin zeh below zeh. Let's read on. We'll understand better. Detanya will learn the brayse kivsei atzeres mekachem as alechem ela bishchita. That the kivsei atzeres, the loaves of bread of Shavuos, and again it's the same basic structure. It's the same framework where I have animals and I have bread attached to the animals. In the case of the atzeres, it's two animals with two loaves of bread. So kivtei atzeres mekachem as alechem ela bishchita. So how does the bread get imbued with kedusha saguf? With the shechita of the two animals. Ketzad shochan l'shman, v'zarek al l'shman, kiddush alechem. So if I did shechita and zrika, and I did both of them properly, and that's what it means when it says l'shman. L'shman just simply means I did with the right kavana. So then good. So then the bread is going to be imbued with kedusha seguf. Shachtan shalol l'shman, v'zarek dam shalol l'shman, lo kiddush alechem. But if I did the shechita and the zrika without l'shma, meaning I did not have the proper kavana, so then the lechem is not imbued with kedusha seguf. Shachran lishman v'zarek dam shalol lishman. Lechem kadosh ve'eno kadosh. If I do the shechita lishma, but I do not do the zrika sadam lishma, so I of the two avodas. I mean, I know there are more, the two others, but of the two avodas of shechita and zrika, one I did lishma, and the other I did not shalol lishma. So now where is the bread in halachic limbo? Kadosh ve'eno kadosh. It has kedusha, but it does not have kedusha. Divrei Rebbe, and Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, Amar lo olam eino kadosh alechem, ad sheyishchar l'shman v'yizrok dam l'shman. And Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon says no, that the shechita and the zrika must be done l'shma. Okay, but at least now we have it. We have a scenario where that bread is in halachic limbo. It doesn't have kedusha something, but it doesn't have kedusha saguf. It's somewhere in between. And now that we have such a structure, we have such a concept, so now we can have the scenario where on Erev Pesach, I'm going to have bread, which are, the Mishnah calls them psulos. They're not exactly psulos, they're just in nowhere land. I can't eat them because they weren't invested with Kedusha Saguf. I can't redeem them because they're just one step beyond Kedusha's Damim. So therefore, now they're in halachic limbo, and that's what the Mishnah means. And again, all this subscribes to the viewpoint of Rebbe, where Rebbe says that if the animal, now Rebbe says in the context of kivsei atzeres, but it's the same basic idea, that with the carbon toda, if I shech the carbon toda lishma, but I'm not zorik the dam lishma, so that gives the bread this quasi-status kedusha saguf. Not enough so that I can eat it, but more than that I can redeem it. Good. Ad kan divrei ha-gemara. And that's the second explanation of our Mishnah, when the Mishnah says they are psulos, they are disqualified loaves of bread. And then the Gemara here just gives us one more point, almost like a bonus, and that is afilu tamar Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon. The Gemara says all this is only going to work if you subscribe to the viewpoint of Rebbe. The Gemara says, well, not necessarily. We could also go like Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon. How so? The Gemara says, well, we can add one more little wrinkle in this discussion. I shechted the animal, the carbon toda. I collected the blood in the cup, and then the blood spilled on the ground. There, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon will tell you, even though I didn't do the Zrikas Adam, and even though Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon told us previously that in order for the bread to get any more Kedusha, any Kedusha Tzaguf, I need to do the Zrikas Adam, here Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon would agree that this bread is invested with some more Kedusha. Why? Because it's Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, son of, this is not a trick question, son of Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, Sevela Kavua, he holds like his father, Damar, Kala Ome Lizro Kazarek Dami, that anything which stands to be sprinkled is considered as if it's already sprinkled. Once I accepted the blood in the cup, it's Omeid Lizrok, it's only now one step from being sprinkled on the Mizbeach. Halachically, Rabbi Shimon says, it's like it's sprinkled. So now, if Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon adopts the position of his father, so that means that once I collect the blood in the cup, it's Omeid Lizrok, it's Kizarok Dami, and therefore the bread is going to be invested with Kedusha. Not the full Kedusha Saguf, because if it's the full Kedusha Saguf, so then we would be eating it, but enough to give it this quasi-Kedusha. Not full Kedusha Saguf, one step beyond Kedusha's Damim, and so it would work out even according to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. Adkan. All right, and that gets us through really the difficult part of this discussion of what does the Mishnah mean when it says they are psulos, these loaves of bread are disqualified. It means it's om lizrok, means it's in a cup. And it's
can you eat the carbon?
No, I can't eat the carbon yet. But in other words, om lizrok, what it does is, however, it does invest it now with Kedusha Saguf. Not full Kedusha Saguf, but to the degree now where I can't, it's no longer redeemable. It's no longer just Kedusha's Dhamma. Okay, and that's that. And the Gemara then, just to tie up all this...
They happen to have two of these loaves. They couldn't do it via Dayan. They couldn't purposely leave...
Yeah, that's what I said. I said earlier, all this to explain the Mishnah is very difficult, because the Mishnah says that this would happen annually. Hard to imagine that this is what happened annually.
Even the first pshat.
The Gemara says, Kuli Alma, everybody's bringing your toad on the 13th day of Nisan. No, knowing that you can. By the way, everybody knows that bizmanenu, we don't have a base of mikdash, mimher biyamenu, but we don't say mizmor esod on erev Pesach. So, and the reason why is because of this gemara right over here. Meaning our gemara says that you don't bring the carbon todah, contrary to what we've just been talking about for the last 15 minutes. You don't bring the carbon todah on erev Pesach, and because you don't bring the carbon todah on erev Pesach, so mizmor esod, the parakin talim that we say in the middle of Pesukah de Zimra, so that is omitted from the Pesukah de Zimra, because it represents the carbon toda, which is not to be brought in Erev Pesach. Sfarim do say it. You hold like the last 15 minutes of the daf. Amr kolam lezer. Okay, fine. Tana mishum Rabbi Elazar Amr kisheres ayu kozman shemenachas kolam ochlin nidlachas mehem tolan lo ochlin velo starfin nidlashtem hischilu kolam starfin. Okay. According to another brisa, as reported in the name of Rabbi Elazar, the loaves of bread were actually ksheros. Fine. Tanya Abashal Omer Shtei Paros Hayu Chorshos Bahar Mishcha. Another way of communicating this idea of it's the fourth hour of the morning, it's the fifth hour of the morning, hey, it's the beginning of the sixth hour of the morning, is that according to this Braisa, it was not done with loaves of bread on a rooftop, but was rather with plowing cows. Two cows were plowing on Haramishka. Haramishka is synonymous with Harazesim. So two plowing cows. I don't understand the imagery, meaning obviously the loaves of bread, that's easy to understand. That imagery is perfect, meaning it's Erev Pesach. Loaves of bread represent the idea that I can eat bread. Two loaves means eat. One loaf means don't eat but don't destroy. No loaves means destroy. It's very easy. It's very easy imagery. The imagery of the two cows that are plowing on Harazesim obviously speaks to an idea which I don't really know what the idea is. Tosos is bothered by a very simple question. Hey, it's Erev Pesach. We're not allowed to work on Erev Pesach. Now, working in the afternoon, that's ubiquitous. Nobody works in the afternoon in Erev Pesach. We're talking about that in the fourth parak of Pesachim. The morning of Erev Pesach, that depends on Minog. Some communities had the minhag to work on the morning of Erev Pesach. Some communities did not have that minhag. Tosa says, I'd venture to guess Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, is not working in the morning in Erev Pesach. So Tosa is bothered by a very simple question. So how are we having cows plow on Harem Mishcha on the morning of Erev Pesach to indicate to everybody? Tosa suggests, what is he quoting Yerushalmi? He says this on his own. No, I think he says this on his own. So, right? Nieros kechorsha. So Tosa says they're not really plowing. It just gives the appearance like they're plowing. Okay. Anyway, but it doesn't speak to the basic idea of what is that? What is this imagery? Why cows? Why plowing? I don't know. Okay. So anyway, that's the. Did I read the Gemara? I think I did. Right? There were two cows plowing. You can eat chametz. One cow plowing. No eating, but no destroying. No cows plowing. Kola am surf, and then everyone's going to burn their chametz.
That's not the true thread. How would the information get to the
people? Yeah, this means of communication only worked for people living not only in Yerushalayim, but within proximity. Correct. For the rest of us, we need to look at the sun. Okay. And adkan, meaning that now takes us to where we need to be, and now we are starting. You'll see. I mean, in other words, it'll be clear from the Mishnah why we're going to be spending the next week of Pesachim learning about Tumah Tahara. I don't really need to introduce that. But what I do need to do, however, is just introduce a certain amount of basic information regarding Tumah Tahara. You wanna know the basics of Tumah Tahara? So open up Masechta Kelim. Now, Kelim is 30 Prakim. You don't have to go through 30 Prakim of Kelim, although, I mean, as a Jewish people who is interested in learning Torah Kula, we all should. But just open up to the first Perek of Kelim. The first Perek of Kelim, so there it gives you all the basics. Right? The Rambam says, it's very simple. I haven't done this, so I should be listening to my own advice. The Rambam says, if you go through the first Perek of Kelim, what does he say? I think like 1,000 times? So then you're going to be totally fluent in the world of Tumah Tahara and all the basic rules regarding Tumah Tahara. The first Perek of Kelim gives us all the basics. So, we're not working today, so what else are you going to do? So open up the first Perek of Kelim and go through it. I'll see if I can find that Rambam. He says, right, I'm pretty sure he says, go over it 1,000 times and you're good. So, of course. So what's the basics that we need to know in the world of Tumah? So first of all, what if a person's Tameh? Meaning, let's just start off with the most basic of information. So your Tameh, so what? So in general, generally speaking, okay, you're Tameh, right? I'm Tameh. Okay, I'm going to make the admission. It's not even a shameful admission. It's I'm Tameh. So generally speaking, it doesn't affect you. It affects us nowadays, practically speaking, in one of two ways. Number one, you can't go into the Beis HaMikdash when you're Tameh, okay, that's the first nafkamina of being Tameh bismanenu. Beis HaMikdash still has Kedusha, so you can't go in Har HaBayis while you're Tameh. You certainly can't go into the Azara, into the temple courtyard while you're Tameh, and that's a very serious offense. It's chiv kares to go into the Beis HaMikdash while being Tameh. And the other way it affects us bismanenu is that when a woman's in Nida, she can't be with her husband. So that's the second way where Tumah affects us nowadays. But back in the good old days, however, Tumah Tahara with the Beis HaMikdash obviously becomes much more relevant. It affects the Kohanim the most because Kohanim cannot eat their Truma in a state of Tumah. So Kohanim have to be Tahor while eating their Truma. So that's obviously a big nafkamina in terms of why it's important to know whether you're Tumah or you're Tahor. The basic division of Tumah Tahara, as we all know, is an Avatumah versus a Vladatumah. An Avatumah means you're a source of Tumah. So what could be a source of Tumah? Many things could be a source of Tumah. Sherets, eight creepy, crawly little objects that the Torah describes in Parsha Shmini, where if you come into contact with the carcass of these crawly items, so you're going to become Tumah. They're an Avatumah. They're a source of Tumah. Nevela, carcass of a dead animal that didn't receive a proper shechita, another avatama. A mace, another source of tuma, although a mace is going to be, we're going to point out in just a moment, it's fundamentally different as being a source of tuma. And Jewish people who are anida, mitzora, yoledes, zav, zava, right? If we have bodily discharges coming out of our body, certain bodily discharges, so human beings are also going to be an avatama. One fundamental difference between people versus animals is that people can be an avatama while being alive, animals can only be an av hatumah after they're dead. Fine. This is the idea of being an av hatumah. Now, when the av hatumah comes into contact with something, so now there's a transmission of tumah. Tumah now will be transmitted from the source to whatever it is passing it on to. With almost every transmission, it drops down a level. So an av hatumah, when it comes into contact with a kli, with a utensil, that utensil now is going to be a vlad hatumah. Now, vlad hatumah just simply means it's a derivative. But even within the world of vlad, so then it's further subdivided. Meaning, if it's directly came into contact with an av, it's a rishon. If something comes into contact with a rishon, it becomes a sheni. When something comes into contact with a sheni, a shlishi, and the shlishi makes a revi. Now, most of the time, the train stops at sheni. Meaning, most of the time, tumah does not go beyond a sheni. In the world of truma, it can become a shlishi. In the world of karban, it can become a revi. Again, if I'm saying all this quickly, and this is the first time you're hearing this, so either replay the tape or just we're going to be saying this again and again. You'll really get the hang of it. You'll get the basics of this. What can become a vlad tumah? What can receive tumah? So you're either going to be a kli, comes into contact with an av, it's going to become a rishon. Food or drink comes into contact with an av, it's going to become a rishon. But an adam coming into contact with an av is going to be a rishon. After that, however, what comes into contact with a rishon is going to become a sheni, not adam v'kelim. An adam v'kelim cannot become a sheni. Sheni is only regarding ochlin umashkin. Only food and drink can become a sheni and beyond. So this idea that food and drink is going to become a sheni and a shlishi and a revi in the world of karban, that's only by ochlin umashkin. It's not going to be by adam v'kelim. Adam v'kelim can only become tame when they come into contact with an avatama. Okay.
If something metal.
Oh, metal's coming up. Yeah, that's right. So metal is going to be one of those exceptions, which actually is coming up in today's daf. And finally, the last word of introduction that I want to just speak out is tumas mace. Tumas mace. First of all, the actual mace itself is in a category all on its own, a category that we do not have anywhere else in the world of Tumah Tara, and that's what's called Avi Avos Tumah. Right? No good English translation. The granddaddy of Tumah. It just simply means that when you have a mace, when they actually have human remains, so it's not an avatumah, it's even one step higher than an avatumah. So that if you or I were to touch human remains, so then we become an avatumah, meaning it is a super source making us a source. By us coming into contact with a mace, now we become an avatumah, so that now when we touch other people, other kalim, they're going to become tummy. So non-Jewish human remains also is going to give off tumah. The only thing that's up for debate by a non-Jewish remains is whether if it gives off tumas ohel. That's the only debate. But everybody agrees that the human remains of a non-Jew gives off tumas maga and tumas masa.
It's a viable.
Yeah, I assume so. I don't know otherwise, but I assume so.
If Kalim touch a mace?
If Kalim touch a mace, so then the kli becomes an avatumah.
And then
it would be right. Then the kli would be metame adam. We have other scenarios where kalim become an avatum as well. Medrash. I mean, look, we can spend the remainder of the morning going over the basics of tumah tahara. You know, I mean, my information I think I can exhaust in another 20 more minutes. But I'm saying, but you could spend hours upon hours going over the basics. So again, if the kli is an avatum and I touch the kli, I become tummy.
Okay.
I don't know. Okay, you just exhausted my knowledge base. Good, which is now the perfect time to start the Mishnah. Rabbi Chanina is going to kohanim omer miyameim shel kohanim lo nimnum lestrofes abaser shenitma bevlad hatumah im abaser shenitma beav hatumah alfa pisha mosifim tumah al tumaso. Point number one in the Mishnah made by Rabbi Chanina is going to kohanim. Now basically, it's really one topic in the Mishnah, which is hosafas tumah. Meaning, I have an item that's tameh. Can I make it more tameh? That's going to be the question. The question of the Mishnah, it's Rabbi Chanina's discussion, it's Rabbi Kiva's discussion. and it's going to be Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Yeshua's discussion of the Mishnah. Can I be Mosif ala Tuma? I mean, the question, by the way, I think it's very intuitive. I mean, I think we can all easily address the question, not because we're knowledgeable, but just simply because you understand what's going on. I have an item which is already Tameh. Can I make it more Tameh? Meaning, let's say it's a Sheni, can I bring it up to a Rishon? Is that a big deal? If it's a Shlishi, can I bring it up to a Sheni? Is that a big deal? That's essentially what the Mishnah is going to be dealing with. And again, how come we're here? So it'll become obvious as we get to the end of this Mishnah. So the first position is the position of Rabbi Chanina Sgan HaKohanim. And he says, look, I'm telling you, I was there during the days of the Kohanim. And they did not stop from burning basar, meat. Obviously, he's talking about carbon. Meat that becomes tummy with a vlada tuma, with basar that touches an ava tuma, even though you're being most of tumal tumasa. Now, even though we are not experts in tumah tahara, but we are still now entitled to ask a very simple question. Meat that touches an ava tuma, what status does that meat have? It's a rishon. Meat that touches a vlad hatuma, what status does it have? It's a sheni. We're assuming right now that the vlad is a rishon. So that means that the meat that touches it is a sheni. So now what am I doing? I'm burning these two meats together. So I'm burning sheni meat with rishon meat. Now, there's contact between the rishon and sheni meat. What happens? The answer is nothing. Nothing happens. When the rishon touches the sheni, so obviously the rishon is already a rishon. It's not going to go up in tumah. But when the sheni touches the rishon, what does the sheni become? A sheni. So essentially now it's the sheni becoming a sheni. So Rabbi Chanina Sgan HaKohanim is opening the floor of our Mishnah and saying, this is not a big deal. We now have the right to ask the question, well, of course it's not a big deal. You're not doing anything. You're not even being Mosif. That's going to be the Gemara's very first question. So stay tuned as the Gemara will ask that obvious question. Obvious after you know a couple rules of Tumah Tahara. So, host of Rabbi Kiva. Now, Rabbi Kiva adds on to this point, and Rabbi Kiva says the following. So Rabbi Kiva says, I'll do one better. And that is that oil that comes into contact with a tful yom. A tful yom, Rashi explains, just I'll say it outside, a tful yom just simply means somebody who was tameh, toveled in the mikvah, and is waiting for nightfall. Between his toveling in the mikvah and waiting to nightfall, he has residual tumah. It's what's called a tful yom. The accepted halachic viewpoint is that he is a sheni. So now, this person who is a sheni, if he were to touch chulin, nothing transpired. Because in the world of chulin, non-sacred foods, so it only becomes a sheni. So by me touching, if I'm a tful yom and I touch a sheni, so there will be nothing transpiring because it cannot become a shlishi. So, but if I touch truma, the truma now becomes tame. Okay? And I'll teach you something now which I've said in the past, but just it's good vocabulary to know. In the world of tuma and tahara, if something becomes tame, but that's the end of the tuma road for it, so the word to use is not tame, but the word to use is pasal. Pasal means it's tame, but it can't be metame something else. So truma, when it becomes a shlishi, by definition, it's pasal. Because in the world of truma, if that truma touches more truma, the next truma doesn't become tame, because it stops at shlishi. So truma coming into contact with a tful yom, that truma is pasal. Fine. So, and now, by the way, you'll see the wording of the Mishnah, you get it. So now I have the, b'ner shenitma b'tame meis. So I have oil touched by a tful yom, so that oil now is a shlishi. And it's getting burnt in a ner. Don't get confused. Ner means the actual lamp. It's the apparatus. Getting burnt in a ner that was touched by a tame meis. Tame meis, by the way, is not the dead body. Tame meis is the person who touches the dead body. That person is an av. That ner is a rishon. So now what am I doing? I am now burning truma, which is shlishi, in a ner, which is a rishon. Oh, this one's good. I mean, it's not good, but I'm saying, but now I get it. In other words, so by burning the shlishi and the rishon, the shlishi is now increasing a level. It's moving up a level in Tumah. It's going from being a Shlishi to being a Sheni. Rabbi Akiva says that's fine. Okay, good. Rabbi Akiva's perfect, meaning it. And when I say perfect, by the way, at this point, at this juncture of our discussion.
In reality, it becomes a puzzle again, because the idea is that if you want to call it a Sheni, then it has a capacity to be metamorphosed something else.
That's an excellent point. In fact, the Gemara later on is going to raise your point, which is that it's not just a quantitative jump from 3 to 2, it's qualitative, because at 3, it can only receive Tama. At 2, it can receive and give. That's an excellent point. The Gemara is going to raise your point later on. Alpha Bisha Mosifun Tumal Tumaso. I'm a Rebbe Meir. Okay, now, with all that in mind, Rebbe Chanin is going to go on him, and the point of Rebbe Akiva, now it all turns back to our discussion of Chametz on Erev Pesach. I'm Rebbe Meir Medivrem Lamanusha Sarfim Chumatorim Tamea BePesach. You know, on Erev Pesach, so we got to get rid of all of our Chametz. Okay? And even if that chametz happens to be truma, you still got to get rid of it. Doesn't matter. That's right. And which is why Rabbi Gamliel said, I'll give you one more hour to eat it, but if you don't eat it by the end of the fifth hour, so you got to burn it. So let's say now I have truma's chametz that needs to be burnt. And it happens to be that some of it is tameh, and some of it's tahor. So Rabbi Meir says, you know what you see from our Mishnah? It's not a big deal if I burn them together. Even though what essentially is going to be happening is that the truma, which is tahor, is now going to end up becoming tameh. Right? Let's assume, by the way, that the truma tameah happens not to be a shlishi. Let's say it's a sheni. Let's say it's a rishon. Fine. And it's not a big deal to burn them together. Well, hold on a second. I'm Rav Yossi, eino hi amida. Now, Rav Yossi says, what kind of conclusion did you just draw? Or let me put in words that I understand. Seems to be a terrible conclusion. Meaning, in our Mishnah, Rabbi Chanin is Gana Kohanim, and Rabbi Akiva is talking about being Mosif al Hatuma, meaning it already is Tameh, and it's just a question of whether we can add more Tuma. But here, with Rabbi Meir, oh, you know what we learn from here? That I could take Truma Tahara and Truma Tameh and burn them together. That's a leap. That's a quantum leap. You're now taking something which is Tahor, and you're making it Tameh, and you're using Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Akiva as your model, as your prototype. It was, in their cases, it was already Tameh. I'm just adding to the Tumah. Here, I have Truma Tahora. And I'm totally changing the status from being Tahor to being Tameh. Hard to understand. Rabbi Yossi says, Eino hi amida. It's not a good comparison. Now Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Eliezer say that there is no debate that Truma Tahor and Truma Tameah must be burnt separately on Erev Pesach. The only debate is whether or not I have Truma, which is Tameh, I know is Tameh, and Truma, which may be Tameh, is in a state of Suffolk, what we call Tuluya. Can I burn those together? That's the machlokas. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Tisareif, Zulatzma Vizulatzma, Rabbi Yeshua Omer Shtein Ka'achas. And there we have a debate whether they can be burnt together or not. Fine. But there's an idea that I can burn Truma Tahor with Truma Tameah, even though Rabbi Meir says it's a great comparison, but essentially the Mishnah says, Rabbi Yossi says it's just Enohi Amida, it can't be. Okay, and obviously later on in this discussion, we're going to try to understand a little bit better what Remeir's thought process is. We'll come back to that. In the meantime, however, we're going to start the Gemara right now, and we're going to start with really the simplest question that the Mishnah opened up with, the statement of Rabbi Chanina Sgana Kohanim, that if I have Basar Kodesh, which is a Rishon, which needs to be destroyed, it's puzzled, it's disqualified, I can burn it together with Basar Kodesh, which is a Sheni. The Gemara's question is Michti. Basar Shinitma Bavladatoma Mayhave Shani. Kisarif Le Bahade Basar Shinitma Ba'avatoma Mayhave Shani. The meat to begin with is a Shani. I'm burning it with meat which is a Rishon. So when I'm burning it with meat which is a Rishon, what does the Rishon do to the Shani? It makes it a Shani. Shani Vishani Hu, my Mosif Lotuma Al Tumaso Ika. Gemara's question is really simple. How are you being Mosif Tuma? I'm Rav Yehuda Hacha Bevlad Vlad Askina Dehavli Shlishi V'kasav Shlishi Mutal Asoso Sheni. So the Gemara's answer is, okay, I'll tell you what happened. What happened over here is that the meat that which was a vlad. Meaning, by the way, you have to remember the Mishnah never used numbers. The Mishnah just simply says Basar Shinitma Bevlad Hatama. So all I know is that this meat becomes tame through a vlad. Vlad could be anything from 1 to 4. So now that we have a little bit room of open interpretation, so now what we're going to suggest is that the meat that we're burning is not a sheni, but it's a shlishi. And I'm burning shlishi meat with rishon meat. That's what we're talking about.
How do you get a shlishi?
Huh? It came into contact with a sheni. So the Gemara says, "Va'inocha metame ochal detanya." The Gemara says, but 1 second. Food is not metame food. Min haTorah. The Gemara says, how do I know this? Because yachol yehi ochel metame ochel tamalomer v'chitein mayim al zera v'nafal meniv lasam alav tame hu. Hu tame ve'in ose kayotze bo tame. Food, it's a drasha, it's based on Pesukim in the Chumash, but food is not metame food on a d'oraisa level. Now this Pesuk, which is describing food coming into contact with the sheretz, and the food tamei hu, it's tamei, but in other words, food can only become tamei by coming into contact with the sheretz. Food cannot become tamei by coming into contact with other food. Now, this pasuk is talking about what? Well, right now, all I know is it's talking about food. This drasha is limited to chulin. Ava b'truma v'kachim osei kayotze bo. But in the world of Truma and in the world of Kachim, food can be metame food. So according to Abaye, we don't have a question. It's fine. How did the meat become a shlishi? Answer, it comes into contact with food. How is the meat now, how is the meat moving up from being a shlishi to a sheni? It's very simple. Because the meat, which is a shlishi, is touching the meat, which is a rishon, and therefore the shlishi becomes a sheni. So for Abaye, it's fine. This is Kachim. It works in Kachim. It sounds like a daraisa, meaning because what he does is he limits the drasha to chulin. So that means that min haTorah, food is metame food by truma and by kachim. Daraisa, daraisa. Wait, just 1 second. 1 second. Ula Rav Adar ba'ava mishmei derava nami darma lo shana la chulin utruma ava bekachim osei kayotze bem shapir. And even according to Rav Adar ba'ava, who has this drasha, that food is not metame food. That's true by chulin. It's also true by truma. It's not true by kachim. So again, we're fine. Because the case of Rabbi Chanina, Sgana Kohanim, is talking about kachim. So therefore, the basar rishon is a rishon, obviously. The basar shlishi is a shlishi. And when I burn the two together and they're touching one another, the shlishi is going to become a sheni. So fine, that I get. But Elula Ravina Mishmei de Ravadamra Mikra Male Dibera Kasov. But according to Ravina, this drasha, Mikra Male, it's a full drasha, meaning it's true by Chulin, Truma, Kodesh, Loshna Chulin, Loshna Truma, Loshna Kachim, Eino Ose Kayotze Bo Maika Lamemar. So now, on a Torah level, food is not Metame food. One vlad food is not going to be metame another vlad food on a Torah level. So therefore, what's the big deal? Min haTorah, I'm not being mosif tuma. So what should be the problem? So the Gemara says, well, we could make the following argument. Min haTorah, according to Ravina, you're right. Food is not metame food. But mashke is metame food. So what we could argue is that together with the basar of the rishon, there's also liquid, which is, let's say, also going to be a rishon, and that's being burned together with the meat that's a shlishi. Min haTorah, the rishon meat is not being metame, the shlishi meat, but min haTorah, the rishon mashke, that's together with the meat, is going to be metame, the shlishi meat, making the shlishi a sheni. Okay. Ihachi, hayim basar shinim babavatom, hayim basar mashken, mi ba'ilei. The Gemara says, I don't love that pshat. It doesn't say that in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, what's causing the tumah? What's causing the heightened level of tumah? It's the meat. So I don't love that pshat. So the Gemara says, I'll give it to you. Min haTorah, meat is not metame meat. Food is not metame food. Min haTorah, but mid derabanan, it is advancing a stage in Tumah, It is moving up a stage in Tumah. So what Rabbi Chanin is Gan HaKohanim is coming to teach us is that even though the Tumah that's being elevated is a Tumah Derabanan, but it's just being Mosif Ala Tumah, and that's fine. Okay. That takes us through step number one. Step number one, just simple understanding of Rabbi Chanin is Gan HaKohanim. How are you being Mosif Tumah? Answer, it's meat which is a Rishon, being burnt which meat with a Shlishi. The Shlishi now becomes a Sheni. That's how I'm being Mosif Tumah. Fine. Technical issue of the Gemara, that according to one opinion, food is not Mitame food. So the Gemara says that's true Min HaTorah, but not true Min HaRabbanan. Fine. That's a technical issue. Okay. Now that we're here, let's move to the next point of the Mishnah, and let's now move on to Rabbi Akiva. What did Rabbi Akiva say? Oil which is touched by Tevil Yom, which is a Shlishi, can be burnt in the Nair, in the lamp that is a Rishon. So now what's going to happen to that oil? The oil is going to move from being a Shlishi to being a Sheni. Now we get to ask a new question. Now that we've properly understood Rabbi Chanin is Gan HaKohanim, that the Shlishi becomes a Sheni, so now, Rabbi Akiva, what are you adding to the discussion? You're essentially describing now a very similar scenario, where the Truma oil, which is a Shlishi, because it's now being burnt in a lamp, which is a Rishon, that Truma oil is going to move from being a Shlishi to a Sheni. Isn't that exactly the same thing that Rabbi Chanina, Skana Kohanim, was now describing? Mechde, the Gemara asks this question. Host of Rabbi Akiva, Miyamem Shakonam Lo Nimnu Melahad Vichule. Mechde, Shemesh and Nifza Betful Yom Mai Havi Shlishi. The oils are Shlishi. Vichi Madakle Benir Shinitma Betame Mes Mai Havi Sheni. Now the lamp is a Rishon. Right? The lamp was touched by a Tame Mes. Tame Mes is an Av. Lamp is a Rishon. So now the oil being burnt in the lamp is being moved from being a Shlishi to becoming a Sheni. My Kamash Malan. Shlishi Mutalas Oso Sheni Hainohach. Now, Rabbi Akiva is a repeat of Rabbi Chanin's Gan HaKohanim.
This is the right.
Okay, so that's a very good point. That happens to be an excellent point. Amar Rav Yehuda, but the Gemara now wants to give us a new chiddush, another point. Amar Rav Yehuda, Hacha Benir Shomateches, and by the way, you're right, Hedy, but only according to one opinion, in the Gemara mentioned previously. Meaning, according to Abai and according to Rav Adar Ba'ava, according to two other Amarayim, the elevation of from Shlishi to Sheni works on a Torah level. So your point is only going to be true for Ravina. Okay. The Gemara is going to inject another idea, and that's the following. The lamp is a metal lamp. Askin and Rahman Amar. Bechalal cherev, cherev harehu kechalal, v'havilei avatoma, v'kasav shlishi motolaso so rishon. So here the following. Metal. Metal, by the way, in our modern world, metal is an excellent conductor of electricity. So it's just a way I think about it. It has nothing to do with one another, but it's just a way to think about it. In the world of Tuma, metal is an excellent conductor of Tuma. Usually when Tuma transmits from one point to another point, it goes down a level. In the world of Mateches, of metal, when metal touches mace, and it has to be Tumas mace, it's not true by any other form of Tuma. When metal touches Tumas mace, it not only does it become Tame, but to the same degree. Now that's true whether the metal touched the actual human remains, or whether it touched a person who touched the human remains. So for example, if metal touched the actual mace itself, what's the mace? Avi Avos. What's the metal? Avi Avos. Or, if let's say, a person is Tame Mace, meaning he touched the mace, meaning making him an Avatoma. The Avatoma he is what's called Tumas Mace, or Mitame Mace. And he touches metal. The metal now is also an Avatoma. It works in both of those scenarios. Does it work with the Vlados? I don't know, and my gut is I don't think so, but I don't know. So v'havilei avatoma v'kasavar. So now this lamp was being held by a tamei meis. So and the lamp is made out of metal. So now what's the lamp? The lamp is it didn't touch the actual human remains. It touched the person who touched the human remains. So the lamp is an avatoma. Now when I'm taking truma and I'm burning it in the lamp, So now the truma, which was the shlishi, is now jumping up from being going to a sheni, going up to a rishon. Now I understand Rabbi Akiva. Now we get Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is adding to Rabbi Chanina's going to Kohanim. Rabbi Chanina's going to Kohanim was going one jump. Rabbi Akiva now is going two jumps.
Assuming that
there is
metal,
right. And in fact, the Gemara is bothered by your question. The Mishnah doesn't say that the lamp is metal. Now, if it's not a metal lamp, let's say the lamp is made of earthenware, what's the big deal? The Gemara says, I'll tell you why it's still a chiddush. And Ben made this point earlier. Because in the world of Kodesh, and in the case of Rabbi Chanina Sgana Kohanim, what do? We jump from a 3 to a 2. All right. I mean, I don't want to minimize. It is moving up a level. But as a 3, the meat's still Tameh. And not only is it still Tameh, it could still be Metameh other meats. Because remember, in the world of Kodesh, it can go all the way to a V. So to go from a 3 to 2, that's really a quantitative jump. But it's quantitative. When I'm going from a 3 to a 2 in Truma, that's qualitative. Why? Because as a 3, Truma can receive Tuma, but it can't give it over to something else. When I go from a 3 to a 2, so now that Truma not only can receive Tuma, it can also transmit it to something else. So the Gemara says it could very well be that we're not talking about metal, and it's still a 3 to 2 jump, and I could still argue that Rabbi Akiva is making a bigger point. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rava Masisin Kashise." So Rava says, "I'll tell you why he felt that this was the correct pshat." Because look back at the Mishnah. My Yirya Dinid Nershin Nima B'Tamei Meis Neis Neis Shetamei B'Sheretz. Of all the examples, why did it say that the candle, the lamp, came into contact with Tumas Meis? Meaning, it could have been any avatama. So Elu Ela Ezu Davar Shechaluka Tamusa Bein Tumas Meis L'Sheretz Havi Omer Zematechas. It must be that the reason why we're talking about the lamp that came into contact with Tumas Meis is we want something that's unique to Tumas Meis. Well, what is unique to Tumas Meis? Metal. This idea that metal stays on par, that's a da'araisa concept and exclusive to Tumas Meis. So that's why the assumption is that we're talking not just about a nair, but a metal nair, and the Chiddush Rabbi Akiva is that it's not one jump, but it's rather two jumps. No, it's just mace. Okay, so we finished up. We finished up Dafid Gimel. We talked about the bread, which is puzzle. Why is it puzzle? We gave two answers, and then we started today. Rabbi Chanina's Gana Kohanim, and as to the topic of discussion today, what we covered is the very basics of Tuma, and just simple understanding. Rabbi Chanina's Gana Kohanim. How are we being most of Tuma? Answer is it's going from a 3 to a 2. And then Rabbi Akiva's being Mosif. What's Rabbi Akiva's Asafa? It's going from a 3 to a 1. Okay, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we pick it up. Continuation. And Tuma Tahara for the next week. Okay, I don't know how else to get you to come back for the next week of Gemara.